following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Tonight I want to address, we're going through a series. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 13, the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago and impressed me that what I ought to do is something I've never done before. 1 Corinthians 13 is the famous love chapter. And we're going through the attributes of agape love, God's unconditional love. And last week, it was called Charity Series Number 1 on patience. But tonight is Charity Series, Charity for Agape Love Series Number 2, Love Envies Not. We're going to talk about envy and jealousy tonight. And then we're going to hopefully have some mass deliverance. Now, I'm going to be frank with you. In the many years of teaching, I've never taught on envy and jealousy. I've never studied envy and jealousy. In the beginning of this week, I thought, what did I do? I got myself wrapped up and committed to teach regularly things I've never studied or taught. Sometimes I get lazy like any preacher does, you know, digs back in my database of almost 1,000 notes and teachings. But there wasn't nothing under this. So I got out the pickaxe and started hammering in the concrete, digging this out. And I have to tell you, it was an enjoyable, difficult, but an enjoyable week in the Word. It was exciting and deep and rich and wealthy. In fact, very this morning, God confirmed it in the cartoons in the newspaper today. He did. I looked at the cartoons today. I don't always look to that for theological insight, but today I looked at it. And sure enough, one of them was about rage. And then I had a prayer meeting with someone, did some deliverance today for an individual. And sure enough, the very thing we're ministering to was exactly this. I said, okay, mouth of two witnesses. You confirmed it, Jesus. And he opened up eyes about some things about envy. 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. That's what we're going to look at tonight. The Living Bible reads, never jealous or envious. Now, I hope by the time you leave, you're going to have a revelation about envy and jealousy you've never had. I submit to you that envy and jealousy is the first sin of the universe. Ezekiel 38 implies that Lucifer, or the son of the morning, or the cherub of God, became puffed up with pride and apparently envied the seat of God, because Isaiah 14 talks about, I will be like the Most High. And there was envy and jealousy that worked in this creature against the divine, the holy God. And I believe that one of the reasons, this is my pet theological belief, one of the reasons he was so eager to seduce Eve and Adam was out of envy. Because the created order of angels apparently was not quite what God was looking for, so he created a different order of man, created in his image and after his likeness. And I believe the fallen angels were jealous that such an order, a created order, would be higher than them. And we're told that in Psalm 8, that we are higher. Hebrews chapter 2 talks about that too, I believe. That for a little while we're lower, but one day we're going to be higher. We're going to judge the angels. And we're told in 1 Peter 1, the angels desire to look into these things. They don't understand. In fact, it was for envy that Jesus was crucified. Did you know that? It says in both Mark and Matthew that Pilate did know that it was for envy that the high priest did deliver him over. So envy is, and I'm going to show you in a minute, a powerful emotion. And one of the most powerful forces. Now, jealousy is different than envy. In fact, I'll show you in a minute that God's name is jealous. But this word here, envy, in the Greek, literally means heated emotions for or against something. Now, here's something fascinating. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, it says, love envies not. You see that? Now, look at the verse 12:31, the verse right before that chapter. See that verse? King James reads, covet earnestly the best gifts. You know what the word covet earnestly in the Greek is? The same word. And look at 14:1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. You know what that word desire is? The same word. And interesting enough, chapter 13, 4 says love envies not. And yet in the verse prior to that chapter, he literally says, but covet or be jealous for the best gifts. And the verse after the chapter, he says, follow after charity and be jealous for spiritual gifts. So he literally is saying this emotion can be legitimate if focused on the right thing. Jealousy is a hot emotion. Okay? In fact, in Revelation 3:19, remember when Jesus said, I would you were hot or cold, but you're lukewarm? Remember, I'll what? And he closes it in 3:19. He says, the King James reads, be zealous and repent. That word literally means hot. That's the same word. Same word again. The same word is here, be envy. Be hot and repent. In fact, did you know God's name is jealous? Look at these verses. I just put them up on my overhead. Let's see. Because I didn't want to. Sometimes there's so many verses, I don't want to turn to them. Just put them on. Can anybody see those? Kind of, sort of. How's that? Can you see that? Anybody out there? I can hear you. Okay. I want you to notice. I want you to notice about each verse. I bolded it, and underlined in each verse two words having to do with jealous and fire. See, God's a consuming fire and jealous God. Notice, jealous enkindled for fire, jealousy and smoke. Here you have jealous like a fire. Here you have love as strong as that. Jealousy as cool as a grave. The coals are coals of fire. Look at this, Ezekiel. I'll set my jealousy against you. The residue shall be devoured by the fire. See the link? Over and over these verses. Ezekiel 36:5. Surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken. Ezekiel 38:18. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath. Zephaniah 1:18. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. And Zephaniah 3:8. For the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. I saw that pattern all the way through scripture. The word jealousy and the word fire. We're talking a hot emotion. See, jealousy is the kind of emotion that drives you to do awful things. For instance, look at Genesis chapter 30. I'm going to show you an example of this. Genesis 30. Jealousy and envy are very similar. In some scriptures, they're the same. In some, they're not. And I tried to break this down in my study, and it's not clean. It's not always one and always another. But as we go through this, you'll see in some ways, envy does stick out as kind of the bad side of jealousy. One writer puts it this way, and I like this definition, that jealousy, listen carefully, jealousy is wanting what somebody has. Now, that's not necessarily bad. Am I right? Like I was saying this, brother, you know, I'm jealous in some ways of his ministry. It's more difficult. You struggle more financially, but there's a power because I want what you have and an ability to access the anointing in ways that we difficult don't often this year. So that's a little, Paul talks about that in Corinthians 9. He says, I believe he tells the Corinthians that you provoke, the Macedonians to jealousy by your givenness, you know. Sometimes it's not bad to want what somebody has, you know. But where it gets bad is envy is where envy is not wanting the other person to have it. See the difference? Envy is kind of being spiteful. If I ain't got it, ain't nobody got it. See the difference? And jealousy sometimes can be interpreted that way. That's kind of the bad side of jealousy. But in one sense, there's nothing wrong with wanting what someone else has if it's good, if it's godly. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 4, be jealous. It literally be jealous for the best gifts. You know, covet. It literally means covet. Now look at this in Genesis chapter 30. When Rachel, this is Jacob's wife. Why is this not going off? When Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied. Is that how your versions read? Huh? Was jealous? Envied her sister.
and said to Jacob, give me children or I die.
Now, right away when I saw that, I said, whoa. Envy is a powerful emotion. This woman is almost suicidal in her envy. She says, and Jacob's anger was kindled. You know it came with some heat because it stirred up his anger. Who am I, God? Who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? I wrote here, Rachel's envy brought on suicidal thoughts. It ate her up inside. She was jealous because Leah was bearing the babies. And her womb was barren. But you know, interesting enough, it was Jacob's favoritism that caused this. Look at 29:30. Just go up a few verses. If you all know the story, he worked for Laban for 7 years for Rachel, and he got a bad deal. He got Leah instead, so he had to work 7 more years, remember? So verse 30, and he went in to Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served Laban 7 more years. But when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, it's interesting that God, you know, when I deal with women that cannot bear children for some reason, it's good to dig into the Word, because sometimes you can find a reason that they cannot bear children because of a curse. And Rachel was barren because of someone else. Because of Jacob's favoritism. God opened Leah's womb, and Rachel was barren. And it was actually Jacob's sin that caused that problem with that woman. A man, a husband, a spiritual covering can cause curses to come under those. Did y'all know that? And I'm going to show you something interesting that I just saw this week. When Rachel said, give me children or I die, she linked inextricably the bearing of children with death. There's anybody's little light bulbs going off right now, because Rachel had 2 children. The first one was Joseph. What happened when she had the second one? She died. It may very well be she invoked a curse on herself because of her envy. Give me children or I die. And God did. See, I wrote here, we have no clue of the consequence of our actions and choices and relationships. Jacob probably didn't understand. And, you know, after 15 years, if you look at chapter 30, verse 22, this is 15 years later, after all these babies of Leah and Bilhah, her maid, you know, and then Rachel's maid, what was her name? This was Jacob's little harem here. And after all these babies, 15 years later, God hears Rachel's cry, chapter 30, verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son, and said, God has taken away my reproach. Now, this is really interesting. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord will add to me another son. Did you know she named Joseph? Joseph means adding, means I'm going to get another one too. Now, I looked at that, because when she got the next one, she died. And I thought, what is this? Could it be? One wasn't enough. All of my other ladies, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah, they had, you know, litters, man. And she has one, and in her envy, it may very well be, she said, I'm going to name this baby the fact that I'm going to have another one. And I tell you, the last baby to be born in Israel's progeny was Benjamin, and she died. Envy is a powerful emotion. Now, the interesting thing is she was vindicated in one sense, because, you know, when her baby, her firstborn baby, was born, that little baby ended up saving all the other babies. Joseph. Had that baby not been born, all the other babies would have died. So God was vindicating in one sense, but the curse was operating. My point is, envy is a powerful emotion. Look at 37:11, Genesis 37:11, another example. It's a hot emotion. It's an emotion with fire. It's an emotion that can bring powerful demons. Spirits. And I'm going to show you in a minute there's something called a spirit of jealousy that comes on you. Genesis 37:11, and his brethren envied him. Now, y'all know who this is? Joseph. Remember, he was older, and he was a bit of a braggadocio. He kept having these dreams and go tell his brothers and father about them. And I'm sure he didn't do it in a meek spirit. Hey, man, I had a dream last night. All y'all bowed down to me. And the brothers looked at each other. A couple of days later, Daddy, I had a dream last night. Not only did all of them bow down to me, but you and Mama bowed down to me. Sun, moon, and stars. And so I suspect he wasn't doing it in the meekest spirit, sharing about these dreams. So it says his brothers envied him. That word, that envy, that stirred his brother, it's a hot emotion. It's a murderous emotion. Because if you read on the chapter, when they saw him come in the field, they said, oh, here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him. We'll see what happens with his dreams. Ah, envy quickly moves to something else. In this case, it caused an incredible betrayal of a blood brother. Like I said earlier, in Matthew 27:18 and Mark 15:10, Pilate knew it was for envy that they delivered Jesus. You know, it's almost like jealousy and envy. When it gets a hold of you, you lose your right thinking faculties. You know, when envy or jealousy gets a hold of somebody, it's like they can't think straight. I mean, when I was looking at this in the scripture, everybody that came with this, they just did stuff that was nuts. I mean, these guys, when envy hit them, they wanted to kill their own brother. Let me give you another example. 1 Samuel 18. Here's a king named Saul. This spirit, it was a spirit that would come on him. 1 Samuel 18:6. This is so petty. You know, Saul was a mighty warrior, and David was an up-and-coming young soldier in his ranks, under his charge. But one day, in 1 Samuel 18:6, it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. Look at this. The women came out of all the cities singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets and tambourines, King James, tabrets and instruments. And the women answered and said, this is what they sang to King Saul. Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. I mean, the women are just singing this silly little song. It says, Saul kills 1,000, David kills 10 times as many. But look at Saul, verse 8. And Saul was wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, can you almost see the whimper here? The whine. They've ascribed to David 10,000, and to me they've ascribed only 1,000. Hey, y'all ever been like that? And what can he have more but the kingdom? In verse 9, look, and Saul, what? I, David. What came on Saul? Jealousy. Envy. I'm talking about petty. What the women are singing in the songs. We're talking an insecure person here. Amen. We're talking serious insecurity. So what happens? And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. That's an interesting passage. That'll kind of mess your theology a little bit. Well, all things are from God. The evil spirit from God. You know what that evil spirit from God was? That was a spirit of jealousy. Now you say, what do you mean it was from God? Well, you know, no spirit can come on you, but he gets approval from God. Did you know that? I mean, look at the book of Job. Everything Satan did, he had to have permission of the sovereign God. God is sovereign. No devil from hell is going to do anything but in God's permission. Now, God doesn't arbitrarily allow demons to come out. Praise God. But sometimes he knows the only thing that's going to wake us up to the sin, amen, or the stuff in us that's full of rebellion and sin, he may have to let something come at us. And I believe God was trying to wake Saul up. Saul had some problems. He had some serious immaturity things. And the devil looked at that and said, that's legal ground for me to operate. Just as in Peter, in Luke 22, when Jesus said to Peter, 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 Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And in the Greek reads, he has earnestly begged for you, but I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. See, what it is Satan saw something in Peter that was his. And it was pride. You know, he's sifting. You know when you sift something as wheat? What, you're trying to get the thing in there that's not wheat, right? The rock, whatever. Well, he sifted Peter. He saw his pride. Remember, Peter said, Lord, thou all forsake you, not me. Oh, yeah? So Satan said, that's mine. See, and the enemy puts his finger on stuff, and God says, well, because that was in Job. There was something in Job. It was that self-righteousness. So, this evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand and his other hand, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Now, can you see this? He's sitting there with a javelin, the king with a spear in his hand, and David's just playing the harp. He was kind of a hired musician at times. And all of a sudden, he starts thinking, he's apparently playing some little diddly. For all we know, it was a tune that reminded him of the one those little ladies were singing out on the streets. And he goes, whoa, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Picks up the javelin. And what? And verse 11, and Saul cast the javelin. I'll smite David to the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. And departed. I mean, David went, ooh, look, this I... I'm discerning that I'm not wanted here. You know. You know, jealousy makes you do nutsy things. Amen? Are y'all seeing this? Envy and jealousy. You lose your head, man. It's a fire emotion. It's a power emotion. When it comes over somebody, they lose it. How many of y'all were ever jealous when you were in puberty? Youngster and you were at school. And you like so-and-so. And then another so-and-so started liking who you liked. And then who you liked started liking him. You know what I'm talking about? And you were overcome with this emotion. And you went nuts for a couple of days. That's, thank God, when you're young, it just lasts a couple of days. But boy, it's hot when it's there, you know? And, I remember one time I actually had, one of the, it's only happened about two or three times, I'll tell one of my stories, where I actually went into the spirit world and was in it in the natural. Now, some of y'all may know what I'm talking about, and if you don't, that's cool. But it's in the Bible, and it happened to me. It would have been 86. And I had been into deliverance for about 3 years by then. And I was in a situation in some relationships at this church and had a relationship with this young lady that was not working out very well. And there was some dynamics and some jealousy and some that petty stuff and all. But what the point I'm getting to is one night I was out in this field. I would go out to this field and pray late at night. I loved it. It was this baseball field. And I met God out there. And one night I was out there, it was a baseball field, and I'd go out there in the middle of the night, and it was way away from any person, so I could be out there and yell and shout, and nobody would hear me. That's where I'd like to go spend my time with God. And, one night I was out there walking around, just singing in tongues, praying in tongues, you know, and doing spiritual warfare and stuff, and all of a sudden, I don't know how this happened, to this day I don't know how these things happen, but I was in the spirit world, and there was a being, you know how they say who's on first, who's on second? There was literally a being standing on first and one on second. And I'm standing there, and when you're in the spiritual realm, has anyone ever been in the spirit world like that? No, I'm talking about. Okay, if you have. I was in the spiritual world, and I could see it. And I don't know whether, to this day, I was leaning up against the shed praying in tongues, or whether I was actually out there. I don't really know. I think I was probably laying, I was out of body or something, I don't know. But anyway, this being was there, and I realized it was a horrible looking thing, and it was dark out there, but it was kind of grotesque, it was hunched over like this, and the one on second base was kind of small like that. And I'm running over to it, and I'm going, ah! And I'm running, kicking at it, you know, kicking at it, and it starts kicking at me, and I hit it and rolled down, and then this other one came running over, and I hit it, and I'm wrestling with these two things, and I know y'all may not believe this, but this happened. Okay. And finally, and then I wake up, and I'm leaning up against that shed where I was praying. And I said, Hello. What was that, Jesus? And the Lord said, that was the two demons that are in you right now. And the one on first was jealousy. And I forget what the other one was. Every time I tell a story, I can't remember what it was. But I remember him saying that one was jealousy. And that was an ugly looking thing. He said, that's in you. And it was that night that everything broke in that relationship that I was in. It all got better. I ceased to be under the power of a person. Am I making sense? I was released from the emotion. Because I did spiritual warfare, I was free. And I just remember that was the ugliest looking thing. But it was a powerful being. But I was so mad and so frustrated because I'd been under it, tormented by this thing. You know, apparently all my life. That God in His mercy allowed me to enter in the Spirit and do, I mean, I guess that's what it meant. I think that's what Jacob wrestling the angel was. I really believe, when I've looked at it ever since, that that was a spirit world thing. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you look at these things about, he was in the spiritual realm. But praise the Lord, we have authority. And that broke the power of jealousy. I've never had a problem with that since in my life. God, for all intents, broke it out of my mind. It's a spirit that God wants to set us free from. Did you know that Saul's jealousy ultimately led him to do insane things? If you read the life of Saul, he became so preoccupied and obsessed with killing David. It's like all he did in his whole kingdom was to try to kill David. And it was his son-in-law. In fact, the reason it was his son-in-law, he tried to marry him up with his wife, his daughter, so that he'd get killed getting the dowry. You know the story. He tried to get him killed and just getting the dowry for his daughter and everything he did, trying to get him killed. And ultimately, he turned into a raging animal and he even, in a jealous rage, killed and murdered 85 of the Lord's priests. Saul did. He became a vicious, wicked, evil, horrible man who ended up going to a witch. Ended up witchcraft. It all started with envy and jealousy. Now, we're going to end tonight with a mass deliverance. And I'm going to tell you, I think it was Benny Hinn's ministry. I don't know where this came from. Someone told me it was his ministry. I don't know. But they looked at the life of Saul, and they pulled from it all the negative attributes manifest in his life from envy on up. And they assumed that was in the house of jealousy. Because the ruling demon in Saul's life was jealousy. And so it may be that to be delivered from the spirit of jealousy, we have to look at the life of Saul and see all the ways it manifested. How did jealousy manifest? I mean, witchcraft, murder, hate, bitterness, deceit. God, all of these things tend to flow out of the spirit. Look at Proverbs 27:4, if you would. A couple more verses. Did y'all know any of this stuff before about this? How the hot emotion. Proverbs 27:4. Look at this. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? I mean, here it is. You know, David couldn't stand before envy. He had to run. Amen. He gets stuck with a javelin. Look at Song of Solomon's 8. Let's turn a couple of pages over. Song of Solomon's is the book right before Isaiah. Song of Solomon's 8. S.O.S. 8:6. Y'all there? Chapter 8, verse 6. For set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals there are coals of fire, which have a vehement flame. NIV reads a blazing fire. Now listen, the Living Bible reads the flames of Jehovah. Whoa. The point is, this emotion of envy and jealousy is a power-packed emotion of highly volatile. It's like a nitroglycerin emotion. Now, here's the encouraging thing. In one sense, this is good. Because remember the verse? Let's see. I don't know that I had it in here. I didn't list it. I don't have the exact reference. But somewhere it says, God said, my name is jealous. I believe in Exodus 20 where he talks about the Ten Commandments. He says, for I am a jealous God. Now, listen carefully. This is going to flip this around to an edification thing. In one sense, such awesome intensity is encouraging. Because this describes God's emotions to protect us. Are you with me? It describes the incredible passion of God to protect us. The fire of God and vengeance against the enemy for us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul says, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have, he said, espoused you to one wife, that is Christ. And I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. He said, but I am jealous of you with a godly jealousy. So in one sense, it's encouraging because this is the passion of the Lord to protect us from the devil. Can you hear amen? The fire and the heat of God. I have experienced. In fact, there's a verse. Let's see if I was going to turn to it. This went on my notes, but look at Proverbs 6:34. It's about a man whose wife had committed adultery. And it says, verse 34, for jealousy is the rage of a man. Do you see that? Jealousy is the rage. And he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. He will not rest content. In other words, when you hit this realm, it's like there's no reasoning. But this is encouraging about God to us. Because he is jealous over us with a godly jealousy. And it's interesting, the word zeal, zealous, is very similar. There's a verse that says, the zeal of the Lord's house hath eaten it up. Did you know, when he went and cleansed the temple, remember he stood there and he took a whip, and he flipped tables over. I mean, he was angry. It says his disciples remembered, and they quoted the verse 4, the zeal of the Lord's house is eaten up. The word there is the same word for jealousy. It showed the jealousy. He says, for you have made my father's house. What? A den of thieves, and it's called a house of prayer. So it speaks to me in a positive sense, a high-pressured emotion of God for us to protect us. It's the power to cast out demons. I really believe in one sense, God wants us to harness the zeal, the fire of jealousy for the Lord's church. That's what he says, covet earnestly, be jealous for the gifts. It's like anything. It's like hate. Hate is a useful emotion. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. Hatred is a good emotion to aim at the devil. Amen? Thou lovest righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, thy God, anointed you the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Christ hated sin. And you know, hate is good. You can hate demons. Harness hate. Harness jealousy legitimately against the devil and his works. Amen? We don't need to be shy away from strong emotions. Well, it says, be angry and what? Anger has its time. Christ was not, genteel there in his father's temple. He was angry, man. He harnessed it and used it legitimately. And I get angry in my spirit when I'm doing warfare against demons and religion. See, we got a lot of that religion here, brother. Big green, ugly thing, man. Rules. It's like a smog bank. Hate that devil. Rules the church. Blindness. Yeah, thinking the other day, they criticized Jesus for all kind of stuff. I think he delighted to cast out demons. You know, sometimes I get intimidated because we are not a deliverance church. We never have been, never will be. We're a discipleship church. We're into discipling Christians. That's our passion and vision. We just happen to cast out demons. But if you cast out demons in America, you're a deliverance church. Are you with me? You're out of balance. And I don't want to be called a deliverance church because I think that's out of balance. I think we could need to be called a disciple. Christ said, go and what? Make disciples. Discipleship. But what did he always send his disciples to do? Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the lepers. Freely you receive. But I like when you look at Jesus, he knew one thing that really bugged the Pharisees was deliverance. You can see it. You know? I mean, they would say, look, if you're going to get healed, just don't come on the Sabbath day. Remember, they would get upset when he would heal on the Sabbath day. It's almost like, all right, any other day, but just don't come get healed on the Sabbath day. But when he cast out demons, he casteth out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. One day that made him mad. He'd heard enough. He said, look, all words can be said against the Son of Man. But you go talking about my Holy Ghost, and you're in danger of a sin that will be never forgiven. You know the unforgivable sin? It's in the context of attributing the deliverance of casting out demons to the work of the devil. Ooh. I mean, he didn't like people talking against deliverance. And then another time, he was riding along the road, and I like this one, and some of the Herod's soldiers rode up and said, you must flee, for Herod is after you. This is, I believe, in Luke. You know what Christ's response was? You go tell that old fox, I cast out demons. Now, fill in the blank. What he didn't say was, I don't run from them. He says, and it's, Christ was not ashamed of deliverance. In fact, he even said, if I cast out devils, know the kingdom of God is here. He didn't say that about any of the other things. But man, man, somebody finds out you did it. That's out of balance, brother. That's out of balance. I suppose you think there's a demon under every rock. I said, no, I do not. I think there's at least 9. There's some on top of that rock, too. How many rocks you got? You hanging onto a rock. That's what you're throwing at me. Amen? Praise God. How did I get into that? Oh, yeah, jealousy. I get jealous for the Lord's truth. Do you get jealous for anything? Huh? You know, God wants a fire inside your belly. You got to have some passion. One of the reasons Rush Limbaugh is such a success, and he is a success. I read the other day, they calculate how much money he makes a second. Serious money every second. The reason he's successful in America is because he has passion. That's it. He has passion. Whether you agree with him or not, liberals listen to him because he's passionate. At least he believes what he believes. People respect you for that. God wants you to have passion. Amen? Some of us have buried these emotions. We've been ashamed, you know? We've been afraid to express them because we've been taught all our life an emotion is bad. It's not bad in and of itself. See? Jealousy is in and of itself. Not just learn to harness it for good. Anger is not bad. Just don't, you spend all your life splattering people and seeing people get splattered. Man, harness that in the spiritual realm. Learn to harness those emotions against devils. Amen? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers and ruling dominion. Harness against the powers of darkness. And out of your belly will what? Flow rivers. There's a fire inside of us that God wants to harness and release. Let's draw this to a conclusion here. This kind of pressured emotion inside of you, though, envy and jealousy, can cause you serious emotional and physical damage. When aimed illegitimately, Proverbs 14:30. Look at this. Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Envy, the Hebrew is decay. Decay. You know, to be envious, to move in a spirit of jealousy against others, to allow that spirit to come, it can. You know, without a doubt, there are certain attitudes and emotional states that can bring about serious physical consequences. Unforgiveness and resentment can sink into your bones, will soak in envy. And it could be the source of all kinds of plagues and physical abnormalities, diseases, arthritis, stiffness, hardening of the arteries. In fact, jealousy is a spirit. Look at Numbers 5. It is a spirit. Now, I'm waiting to show you this at the end. Numbers 5, verse 12. Love envies not. God wants to deliver us from a spirit of jealousy.
Can I amen?
I did a little aside there and talked about the legitimate passion of jealousy of God to us and us harnessing that emotion legitimately. But I think first we've got to deal with the sin. We've got to face it and confess and be delivered as I shared God had to deliver me, you know, back in the 80s, of a spirit that would torment me. You know what spirits do? They torment you. That's what they do well. They torment you. They're not nice. And what it is, they torment you in areas to the point where you think it's you. You think it's you doing. You think it's your thoughts. But you know, if you're born again, if you're really born again, there is nothing in you that ought to torment you. Did you hear? Can I hear amen? If you're really born again, you're free from torment. And if anything is tormenting you, it don't belong in there. Period. You are free from torment. That is a heritage of a believer, to never be tormented with fear, worry, anxiety, to be tormented with guilt or shame or condemnation or accusation. Well, of Israel and say, if any man's wife goes aside and commits a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and to be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the matter. And the, look at verse 14, and the spirit of jealousy come upon the husband, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled, or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and she be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. Now let me explain without reading these verses what he's talking about. Basically, this is a really fascinating passage. That if a guy believed his wife had been unfaithful in a spirit of jealousy, remember, jealousy is the rage of a man. And God knew they got to do something to get him free. If he's jealous of his wife and he doesn't know whether she's lying or not, she says, I have not been with a man. But he's jealous because he's thinking that she has. Well, they have a solution here on how to solve the problem. Says that he needs to go to the priest, take his wife with him. Listen carefully. It's all described in this passage. The priest needs to get some water and reach down to the floor of the tabernacle and grab some dirt. All right? Some dirt. And put it in the water. Swirl it around. Says, here, drink it. But before she drinks it, I forget exactly where it says. She needs to say, yeah, and the priest shall charge her by an oath to say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you've not gone aside, be free from this bitter water that causes the curse. But, verse 20, if you've gone aside to another instead of your husband, and if you're defiled, and some man has lain with you beside your husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath, saying, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among the people. Well, the Lord will make your thigh to rot and your belly to swell, and the water will cause a curse to go into your bowels and make your belly swell and your thigh to rot. And the woman shall say, amen, amen. She basically invokes a curse on that water. Says, and if she's not lying, she'll drink it harmless. If she's lying, it'll curse her. And the husband's watching this. You know, really curious. Well, all I know is, you know what I bet? The Israelites knew of this law, and they believed in curses. I mean, they'd see Jehovah just spit fire out of the ark, if you badmouthed him. I mean, it is true. You know, they're going around through the wilderness, you know, some of them start whining and murmuring, and they don't have meat, bunch of them dead, you know. I mean, they just walked in the serious fear of God there. Called it the land of burning, for many did die from the burning fires of Jehovah for the ark. You know, whoa. And, you know, one time a bunch of them got all rebellious. Moses said, who's for God, who isn't? Everybody that wasn't for God, earth opened up, swallowed them, closed. So when these things were read, people knew this was real. So I bet you this just kept everybody really honest, you know. the women particularly, you know. They didn't want to have to go drink the bitter waters. Now, what's this story mean? The only way to deal with the spirit. See, what it is, God provided a way to get this spirit off the man. This is basically a deliverance. Do you understand that? He's overcome with the spirit of jealousy. He needs to be persuaded to get this demon off, this spirit off of him. Did you know this spirit of jealousy is often the spirit behind rejection and rage? As we saw in Proverbs 6:34, the jealousy is the rage of a man. I believe this is the spirit behind rage and jealousy and rejection a lot of times. Because the man is feeling rejected. His wife has betrayed him. We need to root it out. Can you hear amen? Who's ready to root it out? Praise God. Let's all stand. Leave the tape on. We're going to have some mass deliverance tonight. Come on up, Al. Jesus. Well, I feel the spirit here tonight. I sense everybody really wants to get free. How many of y'all want to get free, man? Okay. What we're going to do is you can just stay where you're seated. Does anyone not want deliverance? If you do not want deliverance, why don't you just go stay in the hall? I'm serious. If you do not want it, then don't be in here, man. And if you do not leave, I assume you want deliverance. Amen? Okay, we're just going to go with the Spirit. Lord, I thank you for your word. Isn't that rich stuff? I enjoyed that. Dig into that. Lord, I pray that you would come and set us free from the spirits of envy and jealousy that go way back in our life. Some of us may be laboring as Rachel was. She had envy in her life, and a lot of reason because of her spiritual authority had cursed her because of favoritism. Lord, there may be those of us here, there's a spirit of jealousy in our life because of favoritism and the way we were raised. Envy and jealousy, sibling rivalry growing up. Lord, it may be that there's physical, there are diseases, problems we've never been able to be free from because, Lord, it's jealousy. And Father, this is a fire. And the only fire we want inside of us is the Holy Ghost fire, Lord. We don't want no fire from hell. The fire of rage, Jesus. We want to be free tonight. So I ask you to come right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Sweep through this place and show us how you want us to humble ourselves. Because you said you give grace to the humble. We humble ourselves to you tonight, Jesus. I want you right now just to talk to the Lord. And whatever the Holy Ghost quickened to you as I shared the word tonight, whatever the Holy Spirit spoke or stood out to you, something stood out. You just talk to Jesus about that right now. You say, Jesus, man, I want to be free. I don't want to be plagued anymore, Lord. I don't want to be cursed. I don't want to be driven by rage. I don't want to be driven by a fire, than an unholy fire, an unrighteous fire. I want the fire in me to be a fire against the devil. Lord, I want, if there's any jealousy, it to be jealous for the gospel and jealous for God's people and jealous for righteousness and rage against the demons. But Lord, I've allowed these emotions to be manifest towards my brothers and sisters, Lord. Towards my own self, Lord. I have allowed these emotions to be stuffed down inside of me and they've tormented me. Father, they torment my mind and they've caused physical problems, Lord, to this day. I suffer physically, Lord. In many places in my body. Because of, Lord, this spirit that's been allowed to have its way. And oh, Jesus, I want to be free tonight. Can I amen to that? I want you to say this after me. Jesus, I receive from you the forgiveness of your blood. You took upon your body the iniquities, the sins of my fathers and myself. Jesus, I choose to forgive myself and release myself from any condemnation, judgment, or accusation of the devil. I release myself from the power and authority of any generational curse, of any blight, of any hex, of any negative thing come down on me from my father's or mother's generations back. I receive the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of the gospel, the blessing of a curse-free life. I receive the blessing of a spirit-filled life, of an abundant life. I renounce tonight a life of sickness, a life of bondage, a life of pent-up rage. I renounce a life of mental or emotional torment. I receive deliverance tonight. I open my spirit to your spirit. Let your spirit come upon me. The angels come around me and do battle over me and set me free tonight from every devil from hell. Satan, spirit of jealousy, spirit of envy, you have no place in my soul, my mind, or my emotions. I renounce you and all your works. I break your authority over me. I break your authority over my children. I break your authority over all my heritage. You have no power in my body. And tonight I command you to leave. Leave my body, soul, and spirit tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to begin to call this spirit out, and as I call it out, I want you to let it go. Spirits come out by breaths. Take a deep breath. Sometimes they come out with yawns. Don't be ashamed. Don't look at anybody else. Just let them out in Jesus' name. Let them out. Ushers, you might want to go get some of those towels or something. Let them out in Jesus' name. I call them forth. If you miss this window, God wants to deliver you tonight. If you miss this window, you're missing a wonderful opportunity to get something out of your soul. Let them out. I'm going to call them out, and you just let them out. Take deep breaths and let them out in Jesus' name. Come on. Right now, every unclean spirit that has been pushed up to the front tonight, come on out in Jesus' name. Come on. That has been manifest. That I see you, demons. The word of God has put its finger on you tonight, and I command you to come out of the saints right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Name of the Lord. Forget. Don't look at anybody else. Just focus and you tell that thing to go in Jesus' name. Go. Come on. Come on. All that rage. I want rage out of there. Pent up rage. Come on. Deep buried rage. Come on. Come on. Come on. Suppressed anger. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come on. Loose. Loose. King of the Lord. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Suppressed anger. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on out of there. Come out of the emotions in the name of the Lord. Come out of the belly in the name of the Lord. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out of the intestinal organs. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. Come on. In the name of the Lord. Rage. Fury. Come out in Jesus' name. Hot fury. Hot fury. Raging fury. Hot head. Come out in Jesus' name. Hot head. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on. That spirit that causes your head to get hot and heated up. Come on in the name of the Lord. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, let it out. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Yawn these things. Let them out in Jesus' name. All that anger. All that hardness. Come on, hardness in Jesus' name. Come on. Hardness of heart. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, send your Holy Ghost in this room. Set these people free tonight, Lord. Set them free tonight. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Envy. Jealousy. Envy is others. Comparing yourself to others. Wishing you were like others. Discontent with self. Not content with who you are. Always looking at others. Always wishing you were like other people. Come out in the name of Jesus. Come on. Envy. Come on. Always worried about what other people think. Always fear. Come on. Fear of man. Wondering what other people are. Want to be like other people. Trying to be like other people. Striving around other people. Feeling intimidated by other people. Always feeling nervous around other people. Always feeling anxious around other people, wondering if people want to be like you. Come on, envy, jealousy. Come out in the name of the Lord. Take the power of that spirit. Come on, all those psychic ties between people, the jealousy, envy, rivalry spirits, take it in the name of Jesus. Some of y'all have siblings in your family, and there's a rivalry to this day. There's still competition. take it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let it go. Let it go. You're free in Jesus. Don't have to have those spirits. Come on. Take a deep breath. Let these things out. Come on. Name of Jesus. Come on. Contentiousness. All these characteristics found in the life of Saul. Blasphemy. Come on. Blasphemous voices. Come on, in Jesus' name. Voices in your head that curse God. I take your authority. Antichrist spirits. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come on. Let him go. Let him go. Take a deep breath. Come on, all. I call you out. I call all the jealousy, all the envy, all the heat, all the hot spirits, all the spirits buried down in the bottom of the emotions. Come on, like little landmines. I call you out tonight. I call you out. Him and the Lord Jesus, come out. Name of the Lord. Loose the saints tonight in Jesus' name. The cursing. Cursing. Deceptions. Come on, destruction. Lack of content. Discontent. Dissatisfaction. Come on. Come on. Never satisfied. Always complaining and whining and miserable and moaning. And come on, in the name of the Lord. Take authority in Jesus' name. Let him out. Let him out. Take a deep breath. Look, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. You have to let these things go. Thrust them out. The word ekbalo means to cast it out violently, to thrust it out in Jesus' name. The enmity, envy, factious, fault-finding. Come on, come on. Hatred. 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 Hate. Come on out of there. Hate. That hating others. The feeling, you've played with the feeling of hate. You've allowed hate. You've toyed with it. It's a deadly thing. It's like a snake, and you've listened to hate, and you've espoused hate towards others. Come on, anything other than the devil, it's illegitimate sin. Let it go. Let it go in Jesus' name. Come on, hate. Come on. Come on. Out in the name of Jesus. Inferiority. Come on. Feeling inferior. Always striving to be good enough. Come on. Inferiority complex. Never good enough. Come on, in the name of the Lord. Come on. Come out. Command you to come out. Take a deep breath. Come on. Don't be passive. Come on. Be active in this. Be active. Take it in. Let it out in Jesus' name. This is a deliverance time. Let it out. Let it go. Let it go. Let it out of your spirit. Let it out of your emotions. Come on. Let it out in Jesus. Out of your mind. I break the power of the lies. The whole nest of lies of the devil that cause you to want to compare yourself to others. It causes you to always feel like you're not good enough. God has called you. You're a priceless gem in his eyes. There's no one like you, never will be. You are unique in the eyes of God. That's a lie from the devil that you have to ever look at anybody else. Break the power of that in the name of Jesus. Lord, all that insecurity in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. All the lying, any lying and deception in there. Oh, the mocking spirits. Come on, in Jesus' name. All of this was in the life of Saul. Come on, mocking in the name of Jesus. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Mocking at God. Mocking God. The Bible says God's not mocked. Thinking you can do stuff and get away with it. There's no consequence. That's, you know, you reap it. You're not going to reap what you sow. Come on in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, murder. 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 Hatred and murder. Spirits of murder. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. Come on, any murder. You know, the Bible says that if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. That's what it says in 1 John. You murder. Come on, murder. Come on. Contemplating murder. Did you know suicide is murder? Contemplating suicide. Cannot suicide in Jesus. By the way, Saul committed suicide. That's one of the spirits manifest on this. Come on, suicide. Rachel had a suicide wish because of envy. Come on, suicide. Come on. Death wishes. Death wishes. Spirit of death. Come on, in Jesus' name. Death. Come out. Come out. Come on, death, in Jesus' name. Wishing for death. Fantasy of death. Death fantasies. Come out in the name of the Lord. Death omens. I peak the power of death in Jesus' name. To die before your time. That's not of the Lord. I peak its authority. Spirits of death. I peak your authority of these saints tonight. You go. We pass from life unto death, and death is swallowed up in victory. Christ removed the sting of death. I peak your power tonight. Go, death. Death spirits, go in Jesus' name. Go, fear of death. Go, fear of death. He delivered us from fear of death. Go, go, go. I hinge you to go out of these souls tonight. Come on, all that murder. Come on, contemplating murder, fantasy murder. Fantasy murder, come on. Come on, let it go. Fantasy murder. Wishing somebody was dead. Come on, let it go in Jesus' name. Wishing they were dead. Fantasizing they were dead. Come on, break it. Break it in Jesus' name. You know, a lot of times there's instances where you'll have an adulterous thing where someone will wish the other partner's spouse was dead. And that's pure. I mean, that's the murderous spirit of jealousy right from the pits of hell. I take the power of that. If that ever happened to anybody in here, we release them. Amen? Amen? There's no shame, man. It's just forgiveness and deliverance. Hallelujah. Rage, we went through that. Resentment, all that restlessness. Saul was restless inside. Restlessness. Tormented. No peace. Come on. Stirred up. Come on. Out. Leave now. Leave the emotions. Come on. Take a deep breath. Let these things out. Let them out in Jesus' name. Retaliation. Revenge. He moved in powerful revenge. Come on. Revenge. Wanting other people to get theirs. No mercy. Not having mercy on others. Come on, in Jesus' name. Retaliation. Wanting to see others get it. No mercy. Listen, if you don't get mercy, you ain't going to get mercy. God's going to let you go through it. Teach you mercy. Sadism. Enjoying the suffering of others. In the name of the Lord. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. Cruelty. The Bible says jealous. What is it? Jealousy is cruel as the grave. It's cruel as death. I paint the power of cruelty. Cruelty with animals. Come on. Any cruelty with animals. A lack of sensitivity of animals. You know, that's really demonic when someone is hateful towards an innocent creature. I paint the power of that spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, Satan. The Bible says even the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. God wants to deliver us from that cruelty. Take the authority of that. Come on out of there. Thoughts of torment, thoughts of maliciousness. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come on. Let him go. Go, devils. Have peak of power out of these saints tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, self-centered, self-hatred. Come on, in Jesus' name. Spite. Moving in spite. That's really what envy is spiting someone. Renounce that, folks. If you've ever been guilty of those things, renounce it. Renounce it. Say, I want no part of you, devil. You have no part of me. I separate myself from you tonight. Hate of the Lord Jesus Christ. Spite, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. Suspicion. Suspicious spirits. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come on. Suspicion. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Always suspicious. Always untrusting. Oh, tell them always paranoid about others. I take the power of those spirits. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, loose the saints tonight. Come on. Take any breath. Take an active role here. Some of y'all look like going to sleep. Take an active role. I break that spirit of slumber. Break it in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath. Let them out. Lord, come. Flow with the spirit in this place. Flow with the spirit tonight. Temper. Losing your temper. Isn't that? Yes, jealous rages and losing your temper. What is that? Jealous streak. All right, so what do they call it? A temper, something like that. Temper tantrum, that's the word I'm looking for. Yes, temper tantrum. That's exactly what Saul would throw, little temper tantrums. Come on. It's usually jealousy. It's usually rooted in a rejection. I'm not getting what I want. It's not fair. They're getting what they want on their mind. Fair only comes around once a year, right? Come on, in Jesus' name. Come on, temper tantrums. Come on. You may not fall on the floor and beat it with your fists anymore. But, you know, you do the same thing with your emotions. Come on. Adult babies. Childishness. Come on out of there. Come on. Childishness. Come on. Spoiled. Being spoiled brats. Come out. Break the power of those spirits. Pick your authority off these saints. Lord wants us to grow up. I love us, he says. When I was a child, he says, but he said, I'll put away childish things. I love it. When I became a man, when I became teleos mature, Lord, come. Come, deliver us, Lord. Violence. All the violence in Jesus' name. Tendencies to violence. Have picked the power of spirits of violence in Jesus' name. The pent-up violence in them. Come out. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Some of this stuff's been, some of y'all since you were little kids. These spirits, these things have been down inside you since you were a little kid. God's delivered you tonight. Take a deep breath. Say, devil, go! I don't want you anymore inside of there. I don't want it bottled up inside of me. I want to be free. Out of my belly is going to flow rivers of living water. I want a pure river to flow out of my belly. Pure water, man. Pure. Crystal clear water. I'm sick of this polluted water. Polluted river. I don't want no more rancid water coming out of me. Wotalabasin. I want EPA qualified, pure, 100% bona fide holy water flowing out of my belly. Water that's not tainted or stained by any unclean spirit. Water that's crystal clear. Water of life, that whatever that water touches, it gives life. Just like the water of life that flows from the throne of God. Whatever that water that flows out of my belly, whatever it touches, heals and gives life. Lord, let the water inside of me flow out in power to heal and deliver those around me. Lord, that's what we want. We want fresh water. You said you would be in us a well of water springing into everlasting life. Oh, come on, folks. Take a deep breath. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. We're going to sing and worship the Lord and close this out tonight. You got a song, brother?
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.